people who want to get into the entertainment industry, we are entrepreneurs. And I was like, damn, he's low-key right.
Hey, podcast family, if you can do me the biggest favor, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast or wherever you find your podcast app. Share if you care, obviously. Follow us on our socials at Pod Common Ground on Instagram and The Common Ground Podcast on YouTube. And most importantly, we want to connect with you. So hit us up on our email at thecommonground.info@gmail.com. Again, that's thecommonground.info@gmail.com. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, or simply just want to be featured on the show, hit us up on there, okay? So let's get on with the show. Boy Nicholas Jimenez, and welcome back to the Common Ground Podcast. Oh my gosh, hello everyone. Hello friendships. How are you? I'm doing okay. I'm doing alright. How y'all doing? Y'all chilling? Y'all good? Okay. How did y'all like last week's episode? I've been getting a lot of mentions and DMs saying like, yo, it was really tangible and thank you so much. So I was like, oh, that, you know, so let me know if you really like the show, if you like the episode, you know, if you like the show, let me know, okay? So today's gonna be a really good one. I have this amazing interview that it's later on in the show, but first I want to get into this icebreaker, okay? Okay, so for this week's icebreaker, I was casually scrolling through Instagram and this dope post that came up from the Awakening People was really caught my eye. They were talking about 5 behaviors that you should not tolerate from others. And they were on the post, they're pretty much just saying, like, check out our story and, you know, swipe up to read the article. So that's what I did. And it's from the theawakeningpeople.com, so it's from the same name. And they were pretty much just letting us know, like, 5 behaviors that you shouldn't tolerate from people. And I was like, damn, I think I'm, like, 4 of them out of the 5. I'm such a horrible person. So I'm going to go and read it to you guys. I wrote it down. I literally, you know, broke down the article into little sections because it was already into little sections, which I liked. And I'm just going to read it to you guys. So it says, here are five behaviors that you shouldn't tolerate from others. We can all be a little negative from time to time, so please don't assume that everybody that you're close with must be perfect and never do any of these things. However, if you are close with somebody who inhibits toxic behaviors on a consistent basis, you might want to consider removing yourself from that relationship. Okay? There's a gem in there. Because, you know, you can't save everybody. You get what I'm saying? You can't save everybody. So if they're not willing to fix themselves, like, you're not their mama, you're not their daddy. So, like, you know? Okay, so here are the 5 toxic behaviors. So it's gossip, backhanded compliments, competitiveness, one-sidedness, and pointing out your flaws. So let me break it down for you. Okay, so for gossip, it says, avoid relationships that center around gossip. As had famously been said, great minds discuss ideas. Okay, amen. Average minds discuss events. Okay, I guess, right? But small minds discuss people. Quality relationships are based on exchange of ideas and excitement. True, there's a gem right there. Okay, write that down. Okay, homework! That helps us grow. This is what helps us grow, evolve, and achieve our dreams. Super, uber, 1000% true. Because y'all, if y'all know me, I personally, as a man, I feel like men should not gossip. Sadly, men gossip more than females now these days. So it's just like, I'm sitting here like, you know, party of one, like, you know. So, but not saying that like the people around me gossip, but they used to, because I used to be the gossip king. Okay, I used to be everybody's gossip. I used to be talking smack about everybody. Like, he said, she said, whoop 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 the whoop. Not no more, because you know, after, you know, being saved and all that stuff, I was like, what is gossip doing for me? Nothing. And hopefully it don't do nothing for y'all. Obviously, if you make a living off of gossip, like, if you, obviously, if you, right, if you are not the CEO of the Shade Room or Wendy Williams or TMZ or any sort of like gossip blog or something, you should not be gossiping. Sadly, people find, you know, amusement within gossiping. What am I like? I mean, do you? Like, I ain't your daddy. You know what I'm saying? Well, do you? But personally, I feel like gossiping doesn't do anything for you. Honestly, like, because like I said right here, the quote, they're saying, great minds discuss ideas. So, you know, like, you know, growing a business, you know, how to become a better person. That's an idea, you know. Average people discuss events, which is cool too, because we are all trying to experience life in a different way. So if you're just trying to you know, discuss an event, that's cool. You know, maybe you went to the movies and you saw this dope movie, whatever, you're trying to discuss that event, that's popping. But it said, right, but like it's also said, small minds discuss people. If you're not discussing people as in like, dang, how can I get on their level, you're losing. You're taking the biggest L. Like, on, like, when I just said that, the first thing that came up to my mind is what Cardi B said.
A lot of bitches fuck with me. You know, a lot of bitches show me love. A lot of bitches show me love. And I love my bitches. I love me a lot of you bitches. But a lot of bitches is mad, though. A lot of bitches is mad. And I be seeing it. But you want to know something, bitch? Don't be a why her and not me type of bitch. Be a how can I get next to that bitch type of bitch. Be a shit, well, if she could do it, I could do it too type of bitch. Don't be a oh, why that ratchet ass bitch? Because bitch, because God chose me, bitch. I don't fucking know why. And sometimes I don't know how. But I'm here though, bitch. The fuck? Figure it out. Figure it the fuck out. Fuck, I figure it out, bitch. Shit.
She was saying, like, she was pretty much saying, like, how come, like what she's been experiencing with people in her circle and with, like, social media and stuff, she was saying, like, damn, how come people don't have the mindset of saying, damn, instead of how can we drag her down, how can we be next to her? You know, how can we be in the same circle as her, or how can we, you know, help each other out? And that is so true, because what the quote said, great minds think ideas. And hello, Cardi is a prime example. She's pretty much saying, like, how come all these people are like just trying to push me down and like gossiping or whatever. And it's just like, you know, like, come on, like, if you really want to be somebody in life, or you just trying to, you know, have a better fulfillment, and you know, you're just trying to find yourself, trust me, you're not gonna find yourself through gossip. Trust me, been there, done that. You're gonna find yourself through honestly, like, a lot of going through a lot of crap, like, you know, heartbreak and, you know, failed business ideas, or you know you're gonna find yourself through experiences. And, you know, the reason why I'm saying this, because I'm honestly not trying to be preachy, but I'm saying this is because I've experienced it, you know, through, you know, in terms of, like, school, work, social media, projects that I do, that I've done in the past, like, meaning, like, you know, internships, or, you know, just, you know, projects that I was trying to do, like perfect example, like this podcast, like, this started out as an idea, but look at me now. And what? Look at me. So let's keep going. So the second one is backhanded compliments. This is the part when I was like, oh shoot. It made me clench my pearls a little bit. I was like, So they're saying backhanded compliments are a form of passive aggression. So for example, it says, it's nice to meet somebody who doesn't care about the way they look. I swear I've said that before to somebody, but I didn't mean it in like in a mean way. I meant it like in a genuine way. Like, you know, like, wow, you're not cocky. Like, you don't really care how you look. You know, you just let your hair down and stuff. You just chilling. You know? And it says, or I don't care what they say. You all right. I've definitely said that before because I'm not the type of person to like listen to, I guess, again, gossip. Like when people say like, oh, like, oh, don't speak to him. Like he's mean or she's an asshole. Don't talk to her. Da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, that's your assumption. Let me make my own assumption. Boop. Chill with, you know, talk to them, chill with them for a little bit. I've definitely said that like, oh, wow, like, you're not like anything what they've said, you know? So like, so I said that. So I was like, damn, I'm a horrible person. It says, these hidden insults come from people who are ridiculing low vibrational energy. Ooh, that's deep. Good relationships will only uplift you with kind and genuine feedback. What? So let me go back to the boundaries episode, if you guys remember. I was definitely talking about this, like when you're on the phone with your friends or when you're just around your friends, how much of the conversation is about you and how much of the conversation is about them? Or how much of the conversation is about building ideas or how much of the conversation is, you know, talking about other people that most of the time you don't even know, okay? So I was like, damn, right? Because that's totally 1,000% true with me. Like, I only uplift my friends. You know what I'm saying? I was like I said, perfect example, in the boundaries episode, like, I'm that kind of, I'm pretty much their personal cheerleader because I've always wanted my own personal cheerleader, god damn it. You know, so I feel, I totally reside with that. I totally 100,000%, you know, stand by that. But at the same time, because I've said, oh yeah, you know how they say that, like, I low-key kind of felt kind of like mean. I was like, damn, I didn't mean it that way, you know? But let's keep going. So competitiveness is the next one. Consistently being one-upped or having someone nip at your heels is not healthy. People who are happy for your success and confident in their own accomplishments, are only ones capable of providing you with quality support. The only person anyone should be competing with is him or herself, which is so true. OMG. Oh my gosh. And I don't know how it is in girl, I mean, I guess I can say I know how it is in girl world, because like in girl world, everybody is like, all women, like, they're low-key like in competition with each other, like, oh, who's skinnier, whose butt is bigger, whose boobs are bigger, you know, who's prettier, whose hair is like nicer, like who has more Instagram followers, who do people like better, you know, like in girl world. But in boy world, it's such a, oh my gosh, is like, I call them like dick measuring contests. Men do it all the time, and I've been part of them, and it's like, it makes me physically uncomfortable because it's like, okay, like, we literally just playing a game, and you way over here looking crazy. Like, perfect example, I'm not gonna name any names, but if the shoe fits, the shoe fits. So I was over a friend's house, and because he lives in an apartment complex. So we decided to play pool in the apartment's lobby. And I was like, okay, whatever. No, lies. We played ping pong first, then we played pool. So we was playing ping pong, whatever. You know, mind you, I'm just playing the game. I'm just enjoying it, right? He over here like, oh, so what? Damn, bro, you suck. Like, so you just gonna let me beat you? Like, you know, like, talking a whole bunch of, like, smack, like, and I'm just sitting, like, in the back of my head, I'm like, Okay, bro, this is honestly just like a game. Like, relax. Like, I don't know what your problem is. You know, but in the moment I was like, nah, just wait for it. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm just getting warmed up, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, just like, you know, trying to like, I guess like diffuse the situation. But like he kept like inching at it, like, you know, like, man, like, bro, you suck, bro. Like, what? Come on, I thought you played tennis. Like, okay, so now you going, like, now I feel like you judging me now. Like, okay, like, we was literally just playing a game of ping pong. You literally taking this way too serious. And he specifically, because I said that to him, and he was like, no, what did I say? I said something like along the lines like, oh, like, bro, relax, it's just a game, we're just literally literally having fun. And he was like, nah. He's like, this is not a competition. Out, because I said, nah, this is not a competition. He's like, nah, bro, this is a competition. Life is a competition. I'm like, okay. I was like, okay. Okay, you're one of those. Okay. Mind you, like, mine and his relationship, it's there. But, like, you know, like, we haven't, like, hanged out like that. You know, one-on-one like that. So, I'm like, I was like, it really, like, I really was like, okay, like giving him side eye, like, oh, okay, okay, next game. So we started playing pool, and, you know, mind you, I was beating him, right? Wow, like, boop, 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 because I am a pool wizard. What? Like, I love pool, especially bumper pool. I used to play that in the Boys and Girls Club all the time when I was little. I haven't played ever since, so, like, if I play now, like, I'll probably get whooped, but I love bumper pool. You know, we was playing pool, you know, we was shooting the shit, you know, just, you know, ranking on each other, just like what men do when, like, testosterone is flowing and stuff, whatever, you know, like, men things, like, whatever. And, you know, then I honestly don't remember how it went, but either he caught up or, you know, we were tied at the eight ball or something. And then he was like, oh, you talking all day smack. You talking all day smack. Obviously, I'm like trying to make it facetious. I'm trying to make it as a joke. But like the way he said it, like, I felt like, okay, bro, like, now you tripping, bro. Like, you literally taking this like a little bit way too serious. Like, and he's like, no. Life, this is a competition. Life's a competition. It's like, okay, great. So then I was like, okay, whatever, just win. Like, I literally just gave up after that. And then his homeboy comes in. I don't know this dude. I'm like, mind you, I like introduce myself, whatever. Boom. And then he tells his homeboy, like, see, I just whooped his ass in pool, bro. And then I'm like, it's okay, bro. We was just having fun. It's not a competition. Then his friend says, what you mean? Everything's life. Everything's a competition. Life is a competition. So it's like, okay, you're one of those two. Okay, I'll see you guys later. It's like, I was like so uncomfortable. So I was like, okay, I gotta step out now. So, you know, it's that is true. So you got like, you know, like, If you feel like a friend or your significant other or your sister, brother, whatever, like, you always feel like you're in competition with them, like, stop it right there. Like, nip it in the bud. Be like, yo, like, I feel that you are, trying to compete with me. Like, what's good? Like, this ain't no competition, bruh. Like, there's bread for everybody. You know what I'm saying? There's bread for everybody. And, again, I feel like with men, like, I feel like, especially, like, testosterone-heavy men, I wouldn't even say testosterone-heavy men, but, like, you know, just men that, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, they're just, like, I guess, like, ego-driven or something, or, like, they just have a big ego, they always trying to pump up their chest and be like, yeah, I'm superior, look at me, like, again, dick measuring contest, like, always trying to, like, you know, like, be top dog in the room, like alpha, like, relax, bro, because you can be an alpha but also, you know, just be chilling in the background, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just weird. It's just, have you ever experienced something like that? Let me know. Okay, so the next one is one-sidedness, and it says, individuals who only come around when it suits them or demand that things should always be done their way will likely leave you feeling marginalized or unloved. Good relationships demonstrate a solid balance of compassion and mutual respect. Which is 1,000% true, because we all have that friend that only hits you up, only comes to your house, in DMs you on Instagram or whatever, or on Twitter, when they need something. Either like, oh bro, can you spot me $5? Can you spot me $5 so I can get something to eat? Or like, yo, can you spot me $20 for gas or something? Or like, and I've seen this a lot with females as well, like, especially when they're in relation, when they're like new relationships, like they literally like divorce all their friends, like literally like die off the face of the planet, and they'll only come to them when it's convenient for them. Like, let's say like their boyfriend and them hadn't got into a fight or something, or like they got caught cheating or something. Like, girl, he ain't shit. But where was you 6 months ago? Like, girl, I've been telling you for the longest. Like, you know, so like that's really annoying. And like with men, in my experiences, like, again, like, you know, somebody asking me like, yo, what's good, bro? Like, yo, I haven't seen you in forever. Like, yo, I see you popping. Like, da 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 da. Really? Like, or be like, yo, can you spot me $5 so I can go to Chipotle? Like, no, bitch. Or can you spot me a dub so I can get gas? Like, no, fool. Like, stop asking me. Like, do I even know you? Like, I only see you like 3 times a month. I mean, not a month, like 3 times every half a year. Like, come on. Or like, if 3 times a year, goddamn it, whatever. You know, so it's like, be careful with that, you know? Like it said, like, a good relationship demonstrates a solid balance of, you know, compassion and mutual respect. Okay, so the next one is number 5, pointing out your flaws. This is my mom. Like, sadly, I can't, you know, cut off my... Well, no, you can. Excuse you. You can cut off your family. But I'm... Right now, I'm not at the right moment to do that. So, this is totally my mom, though. Like, let me know if y'all relate. So, the next one is number 5, pointing out your flaws. Being close to somebody who tells humiliating stories about you, criticize your looks, or likes to post ugly pictures of you on social media can be damaging, your self-esteem. The best friends or lovers will focus on your positive qualities and care for your feelings. Again, my mom. Like, she will, like, and she'll say it, mind you, she'll be telling these random, embarrassing, or just, like, stories that nobody needs to know to fucking strangers. You get what I'm saying? Like, let's say, like, they'll go, like we'll go to, like, a family party. Mind you, they don't know who these people are. I mean, not a fam. Well, yeah, like, you know, like, a family party. Like, okay. No. Lies. Let's say she'll go to, like, we would go to, let's say, our aunt invited us somewhere, right? So that's why I was saying, like, family party. But let's say our aunt invites us somewhere, right? So it's me, my mom, my dad, whatever. We go with our aunt. We go to whatever, right? So we chilling with her friends, her circle. You know what I'm saying? You know, her people. And, you know, my mom, she's very friendly. So, you know, that's where I got my trait, like, very, you know, open, bubbly, you know, friendly. You know, so she's talking to everybody, and their grandma, right? And, you know, and most, and how Caribbean parents teach you, be like, you know, be respectful, say hi to everybody, and, you know, then do your business. You know, then go in the other room and do your business. You know, so this is, she's done this multiple times. Like, when the conversation is about kids, and then she starts about kids, and she'll start talking about me or, like, my other brothers. No, most of the time, she mostly be talking about me, so it's like, okay. And then she'll be telling people these, like, mad, like, these stories that nobody needs to know. I'm like, yo, why are you telling people my shit? Like, I really be getting mad. Like, why are you telling people my business? Like, I hate that shit. Like, I hate it. And she'd be like, oh, no, honey, don't worry. Like, it's play. And it's like, bro, it's not play for me, bro. So, like, I'm pretty sure that, like, If y'all ever dealt with that, like, you know, like, try to cut those people off. And so here's the closing. It says, if you feel that you are in a relationship with somebody who exhibits toxic behaviors, you might want to think about distancing yourself from them. Even if you find that you can't fully end the relationship, you will benefit from putting it away a bit and resolving to spend more time with people who are good for your soul. Learn how to attract positive relationships that uplift and inspire you. You deserve to be happy and deserve to be respected. Amen. Anyone who tries to make you feel otherwise should be held at arm's length. Okay? Amen. That is so amazing. I loved it. Again, this is from it's awakeningpeople.com. So check them out. Let them know that I sent you. And it's really good. Let me know what you guys thought about that. Have you guys ever experienced something like that? Are you one of those people? Did I low-key just put you on blast? Let me know. So let us know in our email at podthecommonground. No, that's our Instagram. Excuse me. Podcommonground. That's our Instagram. But our email is thecommonground.info@gmail.com. Again, that's thecommonground.info@gmail.com. Hit us up there and let us know what you think. So the person I'm going to be interviewing today, his name is Joshua Wade, and I'll just read you guys a little something about him. So he's a great American actor, model, and screenwriter. He was born and raised in Pasadena, California. Now he resides in Miami, Florida. He received his Bachelor's of Music and Performing Arts at Florida Memorial University in 2010. He began his on-camera training at Miami Acting Studio with instructor Ralph Kinnard and Lori Wyman at Lori Wyman Casting in South Florida, which is super dope. He also is a philanthropist. What? Okay. He's somebody. He enjoys attending events such as Bread of Life and Save Our Sons, which are youth events in Miami, Florida, that pretty much help the homeless, you know, teach the youth the power of individual growth and maturity. Like, what? That's a blessing. I'm like, I want to go to one of those. I never even heard of that. And Joshua's also been seen in local and national commercials such as KFC, Burger King, and Miami-Dade Medical, just to name a few.
What's up? Welcome to the Common Ground Podcast. How you doing? What's good?
Thank you for having me, man.
Thank you. It's an honor. So for us to start the show, can we talk about, you know, how we met?
Yeah, of course, man. Well, I met you actually at my event, The Callback. But thank you again for coming out.
No problem. Man. Actually, thank my mentor, Marcus, because he's the one who put me onto that. Because I was like, all right, why not? I'm not doing anything. So,
for everybody that doesn't know, I mean, the Callback was strictly, for anyone interested in becoming a professional actor, model, or dancer. Mm-hmm. So it was an informational. Myself, Marcus Majors, Teddy Tassie, and really we were just answering a lot of common questions that we get from people that may, you know, DM us, text us, you know, email us saying, hey, I see that you guys are doing X with your careers in regards to acting, modeling, and dancing.
How can we start, pretty much?
Yeah, how can we start, exactly? So it was really good. Well, I mean, I feel it was good.
Trust. Like, my props go to you because, one, we need that, first and foremost. So I'm totally so glad that y'all started that because just because I'm a podcaster doesn't mean that, like, I'm not interested in what y'all doing. Because, like, I'm trying to be a talk show host, but also leverage that into acting. So, like, I was getting gems left and right. You get what I'm saying? So, I'm so glad that y'all started that because we need that in Miami. You don't hear none of that in Miami. You know what I'm saying? Like, you only hear that in, like, New York or L.A. Nobody really cares about us. So, we got to, you know, care about ourselves. You know what I'm saying? So...
Yeah, man. You're
so
right.
We gotta do our own thing. So I'm so glad that you said that because that was my next question. Like, how did that all start? Like, what was the inspiration for that? And you pretty much just said that.
you know, the inspiration really was, I was getting so many, you know, people asking me, hey, Josh, you know, how to find a talent agency? What's the easy way to go about doing my acting reel? How do I get good headshots or what have you? And I said, you know what? Let me just create a platform for people to come to so we can answer all these questions at the same time. So I'm all about looking for answers and solutions, right? So this is literally how that came about. You know, I saw a problem, and I looked for an answer to put it all together, kind of wrap it around, and then make it fun at the same time. So that's really how it came about, you know? And, I'm really glad we did it, but that's simply... And also, too, I thought to myself, I wish this was available for me. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's what I'm... Okay, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I wish it was available for me, you know, at the time that I was, you know, looking to do certain things. So, I mean, I've gotten, you know, jammed up by so many different agencies, just not knowing maybe even some scams that ran on me or some friends of mine or what have you. So it was just like, you know what, let's go ahead and, you know, get past this. And, you know, what do you do with information? You pass it on. You know, so yeah, man, that's how it came about, bro.
That's it, bro. You have no idea. Like, trust me, that like you have no idea how much of a gem you have. Like, even though it just started, like, trust me, like, keep it going, because that's like such a gem. Because I told you, like, bro, you can make this like a podcast. Like, I would listen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to like limit yourself and like, you know, just like say it like, you know, because you know how life is and just obstacles. Maybe like the villain, the theater is like, you know, you can't use it for something or another. Maybe you can just start a show off of it, you know?
Yeah, man.
So you giving me gems, I'm going to give you gems. This is how we do it. And what there's one thing that I honestly will never forget that you said from that little conference is that like, people who want to get into the entertainment industry, we are entrepreneurs. And I was like, damn, he's low-key right. And I was like, and then like how you broke it down, like you're like, if you're somebody who really wants to get into the entertainment industry, you have to invest in yourself. And that's what an entrepreneur does. They invest in themselves, not only physically, mentally, financially, you know, like they're trying to put their best foot forward. So I was like, yo, that was a gem. Let me write that down. Like,
it's the truth, but look what you're doing right now, bro. Yeah. This is entrepreneurship in the making. Oh. You know what I mean? I'm on your podcast. Oh,
okay. Okay. Yeah.
like just like that.
So then, okay, so let me ask you this question. So where did it all start for you? Like the acting, the modeling, the entrepreneurship, where did that all happen for you? Was this something that you've always wanted to do? Like, in like elementary school, like you'll fill in the blank. I want to be when I grow up. Blank. Is it like actor? Like, was that it? Or,
I mean, well, for me, man, I was surrounded by entertainment, you know, all my life, to be honest. You know, there was a gospel group called Commission, and my parents were the were their promoters. You know, so when I was really young, so. I've always been around entertainment, you know, always had a passion for it, just didn't know where I fit in, to be honest with you. But I knew for sure, like, I knew for sure I was going to be in entertainment, didn't know exactly what it was going to be. So the way I started off with modeling. So I started off modeling for a little while. I mean, that went well, and then my logic just came in, okay, you know, you're only going to look a certain way for so long. Right. What has the longest, you know, longevity in the entertainment industry to me? And I said, well, you know, there's so many things you could do, but I said, you know, acting. Let me put my efforts towards acting and you know, and build off of that. You know what I mean? So that's really, you know, how I started and how I even started doing that. And then as I started acting, I told myself, you know what? I'm tired of always having to wait on someone else to, you know, pick me up for a project. You know what I mean? I said, let me try to get in front of that. So then I started writing. So I started writing and started building my own beginning to build my own network. So I said, I need to start building my own network so I can start doing things while I wait for these people, you know, to contact me in regards to, you know, acting for this or what have, whether it be commercials, you know, short films, you know, feature films or what have you. So, but entrepreneurship started when I thought to myself, I'm just tired of waiting. I'm tired of just waiting on what you guys, you know, when I say you guys, quote unquote, like,
just
you know,
the industry. People. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, just tired of waiting, man. So, I, like I said, I look for solutions. I look for solutions. And so this is how I begin to build. That's it, man.
Amen. Ooh, there's a gem in that. I caught it, but I don't think y'all caught it, but don't worry. But no, that's awesome. So like, Because I remember when you were telling your story at the callback that you were working, like, in corporate America. You were doing, you know, you were fairly successful. Then you was like, damn, I'm not happy. Like, then you quit. Then you started up the whole acting thing again. And then you were like, damn, this is hard. So you stopped that, and then you went back to corporate America. Can you, like, give us, like, how did that come about?
Actually, yeah, everything in a nutshell, just really what you said. I mean, for the most part, you really broke it down.
Oh!
Really, I'd be honest, you know what I mean? So, yes, I was working for Carnival Cruise Line, and, yes, I mean, I was successful in my own right, you know what I mean? I was making enough money to do what I wanted to do, live life, I was traveling, and I just wasn't happy, you know? And I think that's, you know, how a lot of people are today. I mean, you know, they have the fear of, you know, pursuing their dreams just because, not just because, but they have the fear of pursuing their dreams because, you know, it's scary. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's scary to you know, drop everything and just do what you want to do, you know? And then, of course, your logic starts kicking in, and then you're an adult as well. So you're like, okay, you know, maybe I can't do this, maybe I can swing that. And then, honestly, the thought exhausts us. We just don't even pursue it in the first place. So I say that to say, yes, I took a leap of faith. I jumped. I jumped, and it's the best decision I ever made in my life to jump. And yes, you know, everyone has tough roads or what have you, but man, I just feel excited for the day. And not everybody gets an opportunity to do that, or, you know, maybe not everyone, you know, feels like that. Some people are working their jobs and they love what they do. And kudos
to you. More power to them. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, but more power to you. You know, I wasn't one of those people.
That's not for us.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not for us. Yeah, I totally get you.
Not for us, man. But I left corporate America and I'm doing this full time. And like I said, best decision I ever made in my life.
So then, what was it like that you were feeling like in your, like, what was your mindset at that time? Was it like, damn, like, this ain't fulfilling me? Or is it like, I see everybody else moving this direction and I feel stuck? Like, what was your mindset?
It was some of both of what you just said.
Okay.
It was some of both, man. I mean, I found myself literally in the lunchroom staring out the window, you know. I kid you not, I was like, man, I know there's somebody out there doing what they love. How come I can't be that person?
Mm.
You know? How come I can't be that person? What did they do that I didn't? Or what, you know, what fear did they overcome that I'm not overcoming? It was just the fear of being afraid. As weird as it sounds, you know what I mean? But for me, I just, around the same time every year, which is a little bit before my birthday's in May, I always like, man, Josh, what are we going to do? You know, I have this conversation with myself. What are we going to do? You know? And, you know, for 3 years straight, I had this same conversation. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting upset with yourself? Like,
Can you imagine? That's me 24/7. Like, I totally get it.
How many times are you going to have this talk?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many times are you going to have this talk? And, man, so...
What did you tell yourself? What did you tell yourself when you were having that conversation? Because, like, for me, like, I cursed myself out. I'm like, so what you gonna do? Like, so you just gonna sit here? Like, what's the thing? Like, so, like, what were you talking? What were you telling yourself?
You know, more or less that conversation. I mean, you know, I think your personality, you're probably the same with yourself, like, with other people. I don't know.
I am.
But I'm different with myself than I am with other people. I'm more harsh on myself. So, yeah, really, just what you just said, it was the same thing. It was, what are we gonna do? Like, look, I'm tired of talking to you about this.
Yeah.
And if you're gonna keep having this conversation, I don't want to have it with you anymore.
Word. Ooh.
Cut myself off.
That's powerful. Wow.
That's powerful. Cut myself off, and I said, you know what, Joshua, we're not gonna talk. We're not gonna have this conversation anymore. Either you're gonna move forward, or you're gonna shut up. If you're gonna move forward, or you're gonna shut up. I could, and isn't that weird? I couldn't take the pressure from myself.
Yeah.
That's, you know, yeah. If you can fathom what I mean by that. But I couldn't take the pressure from myself.
Me and you, we right here. We're in alignment. I get it.
So that was it, man. That exactly was it. The redundancy of the conversation I was having with myself. It was just, I mean, of course, friends and family as well. And, you know, I mean, truthfully, I let, you know, some of my family and friends kind of talk me out of doing it too.
No.
You know what I mean? So when I made that decision, I kid you not, two people in my family knew. My brother and my father. Okay. When I first made the decision to quit.
Okay.
And people started
to quit your 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my closest friends and of course my immediate family began to find out maybe 4 or 5 months later.
And how was that?
And it was just, I mean, it was between myself, God, and you know what I'm saying, a couple members of my family. And I learned that when you make big decisions like that for your life, you just tell everybody. It's, sometimes some people feel left out or what have you, look, it wasn't about you.
It is what it is, yeah.
That's why I didn't tell you it wasn't about you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And then I also learned, because I'm in a similar place of like what you're talking about right now. Like, I'm in a similar place with that in my life as well. Because, like, I finally, like, got it through my thick skull is the, like, yo, simply nobody gives a fuck. Like, nobody gives, like, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Like, if nobody cares if this podcast don't come out the day it's supposed to come out. Nobody cares if, like, the callback didn't, like, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, damn, like, that's how I started, like re-engineering everything in my mind. Like, okay, like, what's to be afraid about if nobody cares at the end of the day? Like, not your mom, not your dad, not your best friends. Obviously, they care about you. Like, they nurture you. They call you. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it's every man for themselves out here.
You have to live this life. At the end of the day, you have to live this life.
Right. Okay. You got what I'm saying? So, it's just like, you see, we in alignment right here. I'm with you, bro. So keep going. I interrupted you enough. Keep going with your story.
So, honestly, That's really it in a nutshell, man. I was having too many conversations with myself about moving forward, and I said, listen, either we're going to make a decision or you need to stop having this conversation with me. Right? As hot as that sounds. Stop looking out there and saying, man, I could do that. Well,
they do it.
But we'll just know. Out there.
Right.
We'll never know.
Right.
So are you going to go out there and, you know, and make this change, you know, for your life or what? So that is how I became the Joshua Wade right now, man.
Amen.
And every day since, man, forward. And, you know, a little bit later, I'll tell you some new things that I got going on, too.
I can't wait. Okay, so then I want to know, because since you're, like, seasoned into this whole industry, like, what do you think is the kind of mindset that people need to take to make any sort of success in the entertainment industry? Like, what do you think people, like, how do you think, like, people need to turn their way of thinking?
The way I think, if you're looking to do anything in entertainment, your way of thinking, it has to be just an extreme thought of moving forward. And it's, you know, we tend to dwell on a lot of things. I mean, especially, you know, for instance, you know, if you're pursuing the entertainment industry, I'm assuming you're talented to some degree, right? I'm just being honest. And that's with anything, right?
Yeah.
When you're talented, you put something out and you do like a project maybe, and you dwell over it. Man, this is really good. You know what I mean? And just not saying, you know, you do this, but like say you're doing a podcast, like, yo, I did a really good job on this particular podcast. But you have to tell yourself, we need to keep going.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Mentally, yes, it was a great podcast. You did a really good interview. The person said everything you wanted to say. It flowed very, very well. You did a great job.
Yeah.
You have to mentally put it down.
Oh, for sure. Because you're only as good as your last project. Yeah,
man. So if anybody's looking to pursue entertainment, yes. But you have to continue thinking, what's the next project? It's all about planting seeds.
Amen.
Because once you do this project, but, you know, do it to the fullest of your ability, of course. But your thought process has to always be, what is next? It always has to be, what's next?
So, how was it when you first made that, like, first step? Like, how was it for you?
How was it for me in the sense of, like, just I guess my thought process? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Like, for you to be like, all right, I'm done having this conversation with myself. What's the first move like that?
So, just what you just said, I have asked myself, what's the first move? And from that moment, I understood anything I do moving forward, after I get done, it has to be the same thing. What's the next move? And I can say this from experience, because when I first you know, when I got my first, you know, major, like when I did my Burger King commercial, actually was one of the biggest ones I did. I made a lot of money off that, and I'm actually still currently making money off that. But yes, when I did that, the next thing I had to tell myself, Joshua, this is good. It's going good. It's been good. What are we doing next? Oof. And yes, it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
It's going to take some time to think about all the kinks or what have you, but that forward motion,
mm-hmm.
I'm all about execution.
Yes.
Action, yes, on everything.
Yeah.
I'm all about execution. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, you know, they take action, and it was good action that they took.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't finish.
Yeah.
Being serious, man, you have to execute. So for me, you know, once I do a project, I put my all into it, but I've learned how to put my all into it, drop it, and keep it going.
Yeah.
You gotta pick it up and you gotta keep it going. So that's how it currently is for me.
Mm. Yeah. And where do you think people, like what you were just saying, like you, like pretty much like the rinse and repeat, like where do you think people mess up with that?
I think that, you know, people put their all into a project and they dwell over that project.
They'll be like, oh, this is my best work. Like, I'm never going to get something, like, something well, better than this.
But, you know, I mean, you know, when you put your all into something, I mean, you know, yes, take a moment to bask in. You know what I mean? You have to take a moment to bask in. Man, this is really good.
And pat yourself on the back,
I'm not saying not to appreciate your work. I'm not saying that. You know what I mean? But you got to bask in it for a moment. Just don't take too long. I think that, you know, two of the biggest hangups is, you know, someone that completes a project and they're basking it too long. And the other one is that when they're taking action on something, they didn't necessarily think it through to the end. To the end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to think through to the end, you finish it, and then bask, and then move on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are taking action, but they're not executing.
Mm-hmm. So, that's like, can you give us, like, an example, like in with your career?
Where I didn't execute, maybe, or where I...
Actually, both. Like, where you felt like, all right, this is dope, like, okay. And then the other side, like, okay, all right, I'm done, this was good, what's next, let's go, keep going.
I think the most recent one that I can think about I did, I wrote a short film, FaceTime, and I have a few other short films that I wrote. This is my first one, it's like 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And so I wrote it, and I said, Josh, all right, so, you know, what are we going to do with it?
Mm.
And I said, what I want to put into a film festival. So the first thing I did was I started looking at film festivals. And after I looked at film festivals, then I started assembling my team to make sure I had enough time to actually do it.
Okay.
But I say that to say, I had a project in place, you know, I put my team together, and what I've learned to do, man, I'm telling you. And when we get done, I'm gonna tell you something else I'm working on. Uh-huh. So, but I plan for the unexpected.
Sure, as we all should.
Yeah, as we all should. Mm-hmm. These are set and done.
Okay.
So I plan for the unexpected, and the unexpected happened. Certain stuff, it was just, oh man, yo, so. I did this project, outside of people being late or whatever, you know what I'm saying, to the case or whatever, did the project, you know, it happened, you know, one of my, because it was only four people in the actual film itself, one of the girls, she had been doing a lot of traveling the day that we were supposed to record, she had lost her voice.
No, oh my God.
How could I have planned for that?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Damn.
I was like, oh, man. She lost her voice. Like, look, please just get some sleep. You know, tomorrow we're going to record you or whatever the case. But, I mean, that, you know, it threw me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that threw me off.
How can somebody get, like, how did you get through that? Like, I would have been freaking out, like.
And, yeah, bro, because we're somewhat on a time schedule.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Bro, like I told you, I managed my expectations.
Mm.
So when that happened, I said, okay. Once again, what I tell you, I look for solutions.
Mm.
So the solution today is you go home.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stick around today.
Yeah.
You go and get your rest. We're going to come back tomorrow because we were shooting for 4 days straight, I think.
Okay. Also, y'all had like a little time to give. So, yeah.
I had to reassemble, you know.
The schedule, I guess.
Shots.
Yeah.
My scene shots.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because she was first.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the beginning of the film.
Damn.
Bro. So,
Woo!
So that happened.
Yeah.
So, So, you know, what was your original question was basically, you know, talk about a time where I didn't execute
maybe. Yeah, yeah. Like, and how did you get through it? Like, how did you overcome it?
Okay, yeah. So the way I just overcome, I mean, like I said, I had to reorganize the way we were shooting. And, I mean, I had to think through it. The first thing, so once something happens, man, either you can freak out or you can immediately look for solutions. Mm. I've learned to immediately look for solutions. Mm. That's what I've learned to do. Mm. I'm not saying I don't freak out at all. I may freak out, like, internally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can't let the team see you sweat, yeah.
How do we fix it, right?
Yeah.
So, man, we did that. It took about a month of editing. And I finished it, man. But it was because I planned for the unexpected and I managed my expectations.
Amen.
But that is something that happened in between that I was like, oh my gosh, like,
amen.
Who knows when you're gonna get your voice
okay.
back?
Okay. You know?
So you
better start drinking some ginger ale or something. Like,
shout out to Simone Reynolds, man, for holding it down.
Shout out. I wanna talk about something that like that really stuck in my ear when you were saying that story. You were talking about your team. All right, can you give us a few gems? Because in the entertainment industry, it's super hard to build a team, especially in the beginning. Hello, I know you know. Okay, so like, what are some tangible tips that you can give us? Like your top three tips about like building a team. For in terms of like the entertainment industry,
assembling a team,
yeah, because like obviously at first we don't got no money, so like,
like I said, at the callback when I discussed, you know, what problem do you solve?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to think of, you know, okay, I need Nick to do this podcast for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I, you know, what else does Nick, you know, maybe need, you know, to push this a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, something as small as me promoting Nick and promoting the podcast prior to, I mean, you know, stuff like that. It's just finding how I can help you. You know what I'm saying? Especially, and let's be honest, you know, especially if you don't have any budget at all, right?
Yeah.
And
all self budget right here. Self budget.
Exactly. How you can help them?
Yeah.
And you have to. You have to be clear on you know, the terms of the engagement up front. Mm. You have to be clear. Mm. Like, man, can you kind of help me out with this sort of kind of?
Mm.
And, you know, if you don't tell them when you expect to be finished, little stuff, but if you don't tell them when you expect to be finished, it's kind of like, well, you know, I came with you today, and then you, in your mind, you think you're going to have it for 3 weeks, but you told him, hey, man, I think it might take a week and a half. I don't know.
Mm.
You have to be clear on your terms up front, especially when you're working with people for free.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be clear on your terms up front and say, hey, listen, I'm going to do this. Can you do this for me while I do this for you?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It has to be somewhat of a bargain.
Exactly, like a give and take, yeah.
Make it worth everyone's while. You know, yeah. Like, yes, that is something as the organizer that you have to think about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those are a couple things I can say when assembling a team, you know, for free. But definitely managing their expectations by being clear on your terms.
So clear communication, yeah.
Yeah, clear communication. Once again, easier said than done.
Oh,
but
shoot. Because, boy, the stories I can tell you. But keep going.
So, that's simply it. So the best way to assemble a team. And make sure that everyone knows their duty. Everyone knows their role.
Okay.
So you know, because I have assembled a team before, and I can say this through experience.
Mm-hmm.
I've assembled a team before where maybe I wasn't clear on, you know, what their role was, and someone's trying to do this and this and this and this. And it's like, I only need you to act, or I only need you to be a videographer, or I only need you to be a photographer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or I only need you to do lights. I only need you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, to make sure everyone's clear on their role. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which also goes into the terms as well, in a sense.
So what would you do? Because I've experienced this, is like, yeah, I would have a team, like, let's say, like, I had somebody doing the marketing end, or somebody is helping me with, like, the actual show prep or something like that. Like,
yeah.
And they don't do anything that they said they will do, and you doing all the work. So, like, what would you do in that situation?
Once again, you know, being clear in terms up front, and I gotta be honest, you know, especially when you're doing things for free and stuff like that, some people just don't get it.
Yeah,
they flat out don't get it. You know, And, you know, and they don't get the simple concept of doing what you said you were going to.
Amen to that.
You said you were going
to. Okay.
You know, because people, you know, they, you know, a lot of, you know, some people, you know, don't hold themselves accountable or what have you. You know what I mean?
Especially in their 20s, like, hello, like.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, I mean, you know, everybody got things. But yeah, man, so it really is about that. So, what would I do in that situation? You know, when something like that happens, I'm telling you, man, you have to address it. Yeah. You have to address it, and you know, in a professional manner,
passive aggressive.
But it's really you just have to learn how to talk to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But when you don't address stuff like that at all, that is, it gets even worse.
That's when you get ran over. Yeah.
Yeah. So if something happens, like what you say, you know, somebody said they're going to do marketing or what have you, and they just don't do it, and you don't address it. It'll get worse. But if you address it with them and they're kind of like beating around the bush or what have you, then that means that you need to let them go.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, it's not that you're asking them to do something. You're just asking them to do what they said.
Word.
I'm not asking you anything extra of me.
Exactly. To jump off a roof or something. You say you're going to do it, so okay, come through. So yeah.
It's that. You know what I mean? It's that.
So then, how did you get, I want to know this, I think this is going to be a really interesting story. How did you get your first gig, and how did it feel?
So my first gig.
Sure.
Cool. I went to an event called Pro Scout.
Okay.
Right? So Pro Scout is in Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only in Orlando, Florida, it's around the U.S. But
that was just the particular one that you went to.
Yeah, correct. So I went there, and what you do is you show your headshots, and they give you an opportunity to, you know, do like a monologue. And what they do is they bring maybe 20 different agencies to one location.
Wow.
So you can showcase your talent, and people kind of like, in a sense, pick from that, you know? So that was actually really cool. So that's how I got my first talent agent. So that's how I got my first talent agency. I did that. They got me, or they picked me up, excuse me. And I went on a couple auditions. Didn't get too many, but then that one audition I got, it was from Miami-Dade Medical. I'll never forget. It was from Miami-Dade Medical, and it was for dancing. When I was back when I was really into dancing. Like not dance as much anymore.
I envy dancers. I wish I knew how to dance. I have like 7 left feet. I wish.
I feel like I have that now. Age catch up with you, man.
Okay. So, keep going.
But I auditioned for it, and I actually got booked. And, I mean, it was for $1,200. I remember that.
Wow.
Super psyched, man. I mean, the call time was at, like, 7 in the morning. I was there at, like, 5:30.
Okay, because you was ready. You was like, I'm going to show out. What's good? This is my time.
Man, that feeling of accomplishment.
Yes.
It's hard to explain, you know. And that was my first real gig. That was my first real gig. I remember I was on set, you know, for like 12 hours that day. That was me just finding out about, makeup artists and you know, I was a dance construction worker. How about that? Yeah. So just kind of give you a visual. But man, you know, that feeling of accomplishment of like I went forward, I did this, and to be honest with you, that was my first time when I. Feel like, sorry about that.
Now you go.
Like, I was basking too long.
Really?
Yeah, that was the first time. That was in like 2012, I believe it was. And I just, that was cool. I was like, yeah, man, I did this, you know, and that was, gosh, man, that's actually when I also found out that, you know, agencies have, you know, 90 days to pay you as well. That was a big shot. that was the aftermath, right?
Yeah. You thought you was gonna get it on site. You was, I'm gonna buy these shoes. What?
Yeah, man. I was like, you got that check or what? But that was my first real one, and that experience, hands down, that was just so dope. And that was when I was, you know, wet behind the ears, if you could say. I just really didn't know much. It was all for the thrill of it. Now it's for the thrill plus the business, you know. So, but yeah, that feeling of accomplishment, man. That is the consistent feeling that I keep looking for, and that's what drives me. Because when I do a project and complete it, man, I mean, oh, man, it's just, it's you know, it's when someone goes on vacation. That feeling for me is when someone goes on vacation and just sees like the most beautiful sight in the world.
Yeah.
No, and they're on a boat, they're on a yacht, they're on a cliff, and they're like, oh my god.
So I'm reading your body language, and I saw you were like remembering it, so like I can tell that I was like a real like, damn, like this, I'm successful, mom, look at me, you know. Yeah. So like I'm so glad for you. So what are like, okay, since you did that, do you know of any other things that, you know, like beginner or models or actors can do to potentially get their first gig like you?
Well, man, look, they're gonna have to come to the next callback.
Self-promo!
Hey, man, look, you know, that is what that's for.
Yes, you know,
that's the answer to those questions, man. But, you know, at the callback, we talk about how to specifically look for agencies. Mm. And then, you know, in your respective field, acting, modeling, dancing, you actually get those answers out. So, yeah. Tell them to come to the callback.
Ah! Well, y'all heard this first. Go to the callback. Y'all already know. So then I also want to know your thought on this. Is the entertainment industry really what it's cracked up to be? Like, is the glitz, the glamour, like, really all what, like, is it really what's up? Like,
I'm gonna be honest with you. It can be.
Okay.
When you understand certain principles about the business of entertainment.
Okay, so like what?
So certain principles about, you know, don't underestimate relationships.
Okay, that's powerful, yeah.
That's extremely powerful, you know. And understanding that in the entertainment industry, you know, it is about who you know.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Talent plays a portion in it, but... you know, relationships and marketing play a bigger part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many people, you know, I think out there in the entertainment industry that, you know, that are talented, but, you know, they got their break because of who they knew.
Mm.
I mean, you can be talented and lazy.
That's true. That's true.
So when you ask the question, you know, is it what it's cracked up to be? I mean, the entertainment industry is what you make of it.
Okay.
And to be honest with you, like, okay, brutally honest, this is one of the industries where, you know, perception is truly reality in a sense. If you can back it up, and you can charge, you know, as an entrepreneur in entertainment, you can charge whatever, you know, whatever you can prove your worth.
Mm-hmm. So then I want to go back on that, like, perception is reality. So like, what do you think is like good things to, things to have in the back of your mind, like, okay, this is happening, but let's keep this to the side and let's move forward this way. So I can, wait, hold on. Damn, what am I asking? Cause what you said, perception is reality, right? And yeah, like, when you accept the perception being reality, I'm talking more about like that, like accepting certain things, like say, okay, like let's say like for actors and models of color, right? Like the perception is that like there's no work out there for people like us, you know what I'm saying? But if you accept that, you're not gonna work. So, well, hopefully that makes sense.
I'm glad you said that. So when I said perception is reality, I meant what you put out there, not necessarily,
yeah,
you know, the perception of, you know, currently what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, no, so, I got what you meant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, what I meant by perception is reality is, you know, what you're perceiving yourself to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've also found out, even though perception is reality, you have to be able to back it up.
Mm.
If you can't back it up, that perception dies very, very fast.
So, like, back it up, like how? Like, with your work or, like...
So perception, you know, the perception that you're a great singer.
The fly.
I should say.
Yeah.
Right, it's a fly, right?
Yeah.
So, look at you laughing at me. The perception is that you're a great singer, then you get on stage and you bomb.
Ooh.
You know? So, but that is what I mean by that. And perception and marketing go hand in hand.
Oh, you think so? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never heard that. You know, go ahead.
It is due to the way you're marketing yourself as to why I'm this way.
Mm. Okay. That's so true.
But yeah, but you have to be able to back it up. I mean, you can't just be, hey, I'm just this hot shot, you know, actor and da da da. Okay, well, you know, where are your credits? You know, what have you done? You know, what are you actually doing? And then, you know, so I put out there through my marketing that this big hot shot guy, and then when you look me up, you say, oh, he really hasn't done much. You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
So yeah, so if I hopefully I've cleared that up a bit. You know what I mean? But,
So I'm a big believer in like following your dreams, and I'm more than certain that you are too. But when do you tell somebody, like let's say like in modeling, acting, or dancing, that like, yo, just stop, like this is not your dream, like think of something else? Like when do you have that conversation internally, and when can you have that conversation with somebody else? Like how can you accept that?
I don't think I would ever, me personally, tell anybody to stop. I will tell them, you know, that their, you know, if their work ethics are bad. You know what I mean? And say, hey, you know, you can keep going. You know, I just want to let you know, if you continue this way, you probably won't, you
get
know,
far.
Because you probably won't. Now, I'm not one to say that. I'm only saying that because of what I've done and the steps that I've taken regarding my business ethics that I've been using as far as the, you know, the entertainment industry as I move forward. I think just at the end of the day, you know, I would tell somebody, hey, you know, you're wasting your time because you're going about it this way. Not that, you know, you're wasting your time because you're not talented or you can't make it. You know what I mean? It's about the business aspect of it and how you're doing. You know,
because the reason I'm asking you that is because I learned through Charlemagne the God's book. What's it called? You know the book. I know the book. I just can't think of the name right now. Sorry, Charlemagne. But
Black Privilege or something like that.
There you go. Black Privilege. Opportunity comes to those who make it. Exactly. One of the chapters of his book, he was talking about like. The way he calls it is called put the weed in the bag. So pretty much like start from all the way, like from like literally like shit, then go up. And then what he was saying, that he was also saying that because his dream growing up was to be a rapper, but then a mentor told him, yo, fuck your dream, that's not your dream, you're a terrible rapper. So like, that's like, how do you take that? So that's what I was asking you, like, how can somebody have that sort of conversation with themselves? Like, yo, you're a horrible actor, you can't model, you dance like you, come on.
And here's the good thing about life, the good thing about life is that you can get better at anything with time.
I like that.
You know, when we're talking about, you know, singing, rapping, modeling, acting, what have you, I mean, you know, anyone can do anything with time.
Yes.
I don't know how to play the violin.
Yes.
But if I took lessons and studied for 2 to 3 years, trust me, you see a violin player. You know, when you're having a conversation with yourself, it's how, you know, how much of a commitment do you want to make to yourself? That's what it is, man.
Okay.
How much of a commitment do you want to make to yourself? You know? So when someone's having a conversation with themselves, yes, it's never going to be just about talents. I mean, yeah, right now I'm not a good singer. But if I continue and I take lessons, yes, catch me in a year and a half. Catch me in 2 years. We'll see who's a good singer then.
Okay, try for the voice or the four. Okay.
So I don't think this. I mean, even dancers, people can't dance a lick. You take some classes, you're consistent for a year, 2 years. We'll see who's not the dancer in 2 years from now. See what I'm saying? So with life, anyone can get better at anything with time.
I totally agree. And I totally agreed with what Charlamagne was saying in his book, because, like, some people are living in this, like, false reality. Like, oh, yeah, I'm the greatest rapper alive, but you suck, though. So, like, and you know what I'm saying? And I'm more than certain that people...
Right now, so how much of a commitment do you want to make?
Exactly. Like, look, personally, like, with me, I'm trying to be a talk show host. Started my own podcast. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Building. Have my own YouTube channel. I'm good on camera. I know how to read lines, you know, so I can leverage into acting. So that's why, because I had that conversation with myself, like, yo, is this really my dream or is this somebody else's dream? Because growing up, I was always, I wouldn't say influenced, but, like, this is really prevalent in, like, the minority community. We see success through, like, the TV, you know what I'm saying, or, like, through entertainment. So I'm like, okay, there's no Dominican talk show host. Boom, let me be the first. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I had that conversation with myself, like, okay, like you said, how much of a commitment am I willing to put into this? Is this really what I'm trying to do? Does this feel like work to me? No, yeah. It does not. I actually am having the best time ever talking to you.
You look it.
Trust me, I'm always like this when I'm interviewing somebody. So, I love that. And first, and before we get into our discussion, the last two parts of it. You're very media trained, and I really like that. You're like Marcus. You're really funny. You guys are really funny. So now this portion of, like, the interview is going to be discussion, and I want to know, just, like, you know, your thought process on certain things. Like, first of all, tell me more about your philanthropy, because that, when I read that in your bio, that really caught my eye. So go ahead.
I think it's 2018 now, so I think maybe 2014 I may have started.
Sure.
So since 2014, every year in Overtown, they have an event called Save Our Sons.
Okay.
And I really like this event. I didn't know how much of a positive impact that I was making until maybe a couple years later. Because I was just doing it because my friends invited me out.
That's good.
But they were teaching these young men. I mean, it was kids from, I think, third or fourth grade to, like, high school.
Okay.
And, you know, something as small as tying a tie.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They didn't know how to tie a tie. So we would go out there. We teach them how to tie ties. We speak life into them. We would also, like, play basketball with them and things like that. Is this going to be a video?
Yeah, but don't worry. Don't worry. That's good. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Yeah, I'm like...
No, I don't see it. I don't see it, but...
Jeez, maybe people don't think I sneak or something, bro.
No. Trust me. My show is very loose, very, you know, don't worry about it. So keep going.
So after I did that, I did it consistently for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And I loved it, man. I loved doing that. I love giving back. And then I'm also part of a fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi. Young men that are on my campus at Florida Moore University, I know I go back and talk to them, and I would do my very best to speak life into them about moving forward outside of college.
Amen.
And I just really begin to enjoy encouraging.
Amen. Yeah.
I don't know when that really happened. Maybe just because I just yearned, you know, for that consistent encouragement from somebody.
Yeah.
And then
that personal cheerleader. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when I got a chance to actually do it, it just feels good when I see people's, you know, eyes begin to spark after things that I say, and they're looking empowered.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So in that sense, it just felt really good. With my church, I need to pick it back up. But I went and fed the homeless.
Can I come? I love feeding the homeless.
Of course, man.
What?
Yeah. Yeah,
what? I love feeding the homeless.
Church last weekend, and then I think maybe like 6 months ago I did it again.
Okay.
I think they do it like once a month, but I make it when I can.
Yeah, of course.
But when I did that, I mean, it just makes me feel good to really help those individuals that don't have the means to help themselves, or you know, they may just make some bad decisions in life and it's just currently where they are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Being honest, I will continue to do that. That mm-hmm. brings my heart joy. And, you know, I don't know, man, maybe just when you get older, you just start becoming a lot more compassionate to people. I don't know how to explain
it. No, I totally get it. Like, with me, like, when I finally started making, like, money to actually, like, give people gifts, like, the first time I was ever, like, I was ever able to, like, buy my mom something for Christmas, or, like, my best friend a pair of shoes, even though you're not supposed to give people shoes because they'll walk out of your life, but that's a different story. Oh. I started...
I've never heard that in my life.
Yes, that's a saying, but I gave my best friend shoes, and I kid you not, like, I bawled tears. I was like, this feels so good. Like, you know, giving something to somebody. Like, because, you know, the saying is like, oh, it's better to give than receive. When I was younger, I was like, nah, I want everything. Give me, give me. But then when I finally started being able to give somebody something, I was like, oh, damn. So this is what it is? So church wasn't lying? Like, this is really what it is?
Like, oh, wow. Yeah, exactly.
I'm so glad that you do that, because I want to do something like that, like kind of start like a what Steve Harvey does. He has like that little mentoring program. It's like a summer camp for young boys that are like going through stuff in their lives, and like it's kind of like a father in me mentoring camp that like he pretty much like helps motivate these young boys that either don't have fathers in their lives or like have bad parents or whatever. You know, they're going through a lot, and then like he'll come through with like some, like, you know, his team, his people, and like, you know, they'll motivate, like you said, like they'll motivate people, they'll like teach them how to tie a tie, how to, you know, dress for an interview, stuff like that. When I get my talk show and I'm able to do something like that, trust, cloud nine, trust. And then the time and this watch, I kid you not, I'm telling you, I'm putting this in stone. The second I'm able to give somebody a big check, like how Ellen does it, I'll bawl tears. I'll be like, yo, cut to commercial. Like, I can't, like, I look like Kim Kardashian when I cry. No, y'all not gonna make me a meme. Like, I totally get it. I totally get you. And so then, like, and with that, I just like to thank you. Like, yo, thank you for coming on this show. That's all. That's all I got to tell. That's all I got to say.
And no, thank you for having me, man. Thank you for, you know, allowing me to share your platform. No problem. You know what I mean? So I can, you know, discuss certain things that I got going on in my life. Maybe something I've said today has encouraged someone else to, you know, pursue their dreams.
Definitely.
Or what have you. And,
definitely.
So if I can, I mean, yeah, you got any questions for me?
I do. I was going to ask you, like, where can we find you and what's next? Like, what's good?
Let's go ahead.
So
you can see my website, thejoshuawade.com. My Instagram is thejoshuawade.
Yeah.
My Facebook page, thejoshuawade1. You know, my email address, thejoshuawade@gmail.com. Got to keep everything consistent. So right now, man, I have a couple other events happening. Or that are in the works. I have one for entertainment entrepreneurship, right?
Okay.
So I have one coming up for that. The discussion that we actually had about, you know, individuals, you know, maybe not doing what they said they were going to do or what have you, basically putting a team together, right? So
we all know how hard that is.
I'm going to be holding a seminar, man, for entertainment entrepreneurs, actors, actresses, models, you know, writers, photographers, videographers, hosts, and this will be just, I'll be giving you all some principles on what to go by as you pursue your career as an entertainment entrepreneur, because you are. If anybody is asking you for your actual services, you're an entrepreneur.
Yep.
You know, it's simple as that.
Yep.
And these are the principles that you guys should go by so you can help maintain successful relationships and structure the way that you guys need to do it. So I'm going to have one for that. My short film FaceTime. I have not got a chance to premiere it yet, so I'm looking for a venue.
What's up
now.
With that? I'm waiting for it. Let's go.
Yeah, man, for a venue now. I got that going on as well. Let's see, what else do I have going on? What else? So I got those two things. I guess maybe those are the only two things I actually want to speak on.
There's more. Okay, there's more that this is in the archives. I get it.
I got some things up my sleeve. I really do. But once again, thejoshuawade@gmail.com. You guys can email me for anything, you know, any questions you guys may have about pursuing a career in acting. Instagram is thejoshuawade. LinkedIn is also thejoshuawade.
You got
Facebook,
a LinkedIn.
Joshua Wade as well. So that's how everybody can get in contact with me. So that's that.
And just shout out to you and the callback. That was great. It was
amazing.
I can't wait to the next one. And just, again, just thank you for blessing me with your presence on my little show. You know, I'm out here trying to make it like everybody else.
I said, I'm a real low key guy, but I got hyped because you were getting hyped. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it was just simple as that.
Oh my God. You made my day because I said that. Because you just said that. Because that's like my mission in life. Like, to be the light for people. Like, I love to get people hyped. Like, yeah, trust me. Like, you said that you've always wanted your own little personal cheerleader. Me too. So, I be doing that to other people. So, like, don't worry. I got you. I totally got you. But thank you again, bro. I love you. I can't wait to see you again. Let me know about that homeless thing for the church. I'll definitely slide through. Definitely slide through. Because you know how people be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have this thing. And I ask them, Lord, let me come through. They'll be like, yeah. But then they never hit you up. So, you know, I just got to reinvigorate that in your mind. So, amen. I am too. Because we both men of God. And I like that. So, so again, thank you. And that's it.
Nigga, I want you to say goodbye to everybody here, man, real quick.
Peace out, people. I love you. Thank you for everybody who's tuning in. And check out the episode, too. Don't be shy. Yeah, man.